Well, it's good to be with you. If you have your Bibles, we've been cruising through the book of Mark, and I don't know, maybe not cruising. We haven't been going that fast, but we're on chapter 5 today, and we're going to be there for the majority of the time that we have together. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 5. Let's pray, and then we're going to begin. God, we come before you. We are just thankful today that we are able to come in Jesus' name, and to celebrate who he is and celebrate what he's done for us. We just ask that your spirit would be able to speak and to change our hearts into the likeness of Jesus, that we would walk in his ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am a product of the 80s and 90s, and I grew up during that time, and during that time, there was this big push for students to sign cards and make commitments to stay pure in marriage. And I remember that we had a speaker come, and she was using biblical ideas, not using the Bible, but using biblical ideas of keeping the marriage bed pure. And she said many things that were absolutely correct. And this, again, was in a public school. And I remember that she used an illustration. She used an illustration to help us to understand why this was God's way, why this was God's plan, why this was that marriage and sex were connected into this kind of fire pit type of an idea, and that it was confined to that. And what she did is she took a piece of tape. She took a piece of tape, and she said, every time that you're with somebody that is outside of marriage and that relationship breaks up, there is just this part that's left with you and a part of you that's left with them. And she kept going like this and kept showing us this kind of illustration of just different relationships that we would have, and said, this is not really God's design. And she said, at the end of it, if you look at the piece of tape, she said, there's a lot of just stuff, a lot of DNA that's been given over to that other person. And she said, it's not only just physically, but there's also this spiritual connection to this. And she said, you know, you don't want to bring this in to the marriage that you're going to have someday. And she said, you know, who would want that in their marriage? And I thought, man, that was just a powerful, powerful illustration in my life to really try to understand this. And she said, you know, the reality is none of us would want the piece of tape because some of its purpose was broken. Some of its design was broken. It's not as sticky as it used to be, and the stickiness was gone. And she kept walking through that illustration. And I remember afterwards being just captivated by that image. And then it took a few years, but then I realized something. Well, who would want that piece of tape? Who would want that piece of tape that doesn't work anymore, doesn't function anymore? It has some DNA and filth on it. Who would want that? The reality is Jesus did. Jesus wanted that. The reality is, though, Jesus came for the tattered pieces of tape, that worn out pieces of tape. That's what the scriptures tell us over and over again. Jesus took on flesh to come after those who were sinners, who were broken, those who were tattered, those who were no longer what they were supposed to be or designed to be, so he could restore them. And that's the gospel story. And that's where we're gonna land today, really, on the gospel. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever has been done to you, Jesus wants to come. He wants to restore your life, to give you life to the full. And that's why he came. The scriptures tell us this. And when Jesus was asked the question, why did you come to earth? It's a good question. Why did you come here? Why are you here? What's the reasoning behind it? What's the purpose for this? Jesus answered the question this way. In Luke chapter 19, in verse 10, he said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus says, "The reason that I left heaven, this is the reason that I left my throne. This is the reason that I left glory. This is the reason that I came to earth. I wrapped myself in the injured flesh of humanity so that I could seek and go after and look for and find and rescue the messed up, used up, tattered people." Jesus says that is the reason that he came, to pursue and to save that which is lost. That is what we're going to be seeing today in this text. We're going to look at the Gospel of Mark today in chapter 5, and it's a very simple, straightforward story. What I think is fantastic about this story is it illustrates exactly what Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. It illustrates this perfectly, that he is a man of his word. Remember last week, Jesus was on the water. He's with the disciples. There's big waves coming in. He's asleep in the boat. And they said, "Hey, Jesus, do you not even care?" And Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm. And at the end of that story, what happens? They ask a question. Who is this man? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, the gospel writer, Mark, is going to answer that question for us. He's going to answer that question for us. And so we have to have that question in mind when we're reading chapter 5. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This is a big deal. And so what we're going to see in this is Jesus calms the storm. And then he calms the storm. And what happens is they're on the boat. And what does Jesus do? Like, this is like a pretty big deal. He calms the storm, and you would think they'd just got like start celebrating and they would go have a fish fry or something like that. But instead, Jesus goes, "No, you're going to go over here. We're going to continue on our route. We're going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." The other side of the Sea of Galilee is a foreign land. It's outside of the promised land. It's outside of the covenant relationship that God had with Israel and the people there. And Jesus goes across. He goes across to this foreign land. And at first glance, when we read this story in Mark, this story seems like a random story. It seems like it's misplaced. It seems like he calms the storm, and then they go across, and he heals this guy, and they get back on the boat, and they go back to the promised land. That's what it looks like. And you're like, "Oh, that's a really cool story." But there's something in here for us. There's something that's important for us. There's something that the gospel writer wanted us to see. And so keep this idea of seek and save the lost, because it's played out in this story. So chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke his irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." We learn that the man was demon-possessed. So Jesus starts talking. He starts talking at this point to the demons. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Again, if you look at the story outside of the context and the purpose of why Jesus came, the story seems rather random. It just seems like it's just placed there, and the gospel writer's telling us this really neat story. But remember that when the disciples just asked the question, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? What Mark is doing in this story is he's answering that question, who is this man that the wind and the waves obey? Mark says this man that the wind and the waves obey is the man who came to this planet to seek and to save the lost. That this man, there's a couple of things that we see in this story about Jesus. In this, we see some things about who he is. The number one thing that we see here about Jesus is he's a man of ultimate power. Jesus doesn't use his power, though, to oppress us. He uses his power to set us free. Remember, he calms the wind and the waves. Now he goes over and he heals this man. He heals this man. That is how Jesus uses his power. In the light of that truth, this man of ultimate power doesn't use his power to oppress. He uses his power to free. In light of that story, it helps us to see that there is no one who's too far gone for Jesus to set them free. Whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, wherever you've gone, it's not too big for Jesus, because he's a man of ultimate power. I can't think of anybody, this man that Jesus meets on the seashore, I can't think of anybody in Scripture, and you can start thinking about it, and maybe you can tell me afterwards, that is more messed up than this dude. There is nobody in all of Scripture that is more messed up than this guy. And yet Jesus saves him. The grace of God and the power of God is greater than any human condition. It is greater than any demon possession. It is even greater than death, which is really good news for us. But let's just focus why Mark puts this here. And let's just focus on how Jesus uses his power not to oppress, but he uses his power to set us free. And Mark chapter 5 and verse 3, the gospel writer in this tells us how messed up this guy is. He tells it to us in kind of weird detail. And he goes in and he begins it this way in verse 3. This man lived in a tomb. Mark tells us that this guy lived in a graveyard. He lived in a graveyard. That's significant. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But think about this. If somebody lives in a graveyard, it freaks us all out. No matter who we are, that's just weird, right? Like, it's just weird for someone to live in a graveyard. He lives in the tomb. You need to understand that any Jewish person that met someone that lived in a graveyard would consider that person unclean. That would be ceremonially unclean. You don't touch ceremony unclean. You don't mess with people who live in graveyards. You don't touch them because they're unclean. And because if you touch them, what happens? The unclean gets on you, and now you are unclean. Mark is describing this guy. He's not mentally stable. So much so that the town people have kicked him out of the town. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often, this is verse 4, he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue this guy. The second thing that Mark tells us about this character, this guy, was he was mentally unstable and he was dangerous. He was dangerous. The people didn't just kick him out of the town and make him live in the graveyard. He was so scary that they tried to bind him with chains. They tried to hold him down. They tried to subdue him. Think about this. This is the kind of guy, if you're like between 13 and 18, your buddies, what are they going to do? Let's go. Let's go over, because your brains aren't functioning fully, right? Like, it's just your front of your brains haven't fully developed, and you're going, let's go over there. This will be, I double dog dare you, right? Like, highest dare, you just kind of escalate this thing, and you're like, let's go see this guy. And your mama and daddy have told you, you do not go over by this guy, but you go over anyway. And you can imagine these kids kind of going and throwing a little pebble by the gravesite. and just trying to get them to come out to rage on them, right? You can imagine this in your heads. This is the description that Mark is telling us. Mark continues and he says, night and day among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Every night he was shrieking like a coyote. You ever hear a coyote outside your bedroom window? You ever hear coyotes? It feels like they're in your yard. It feels like they're right by your window. And they could be a ways away, but they're shrieking and yelling. This is the picture that Mark gives us of this guy. And not only is he doing that, but he's cutting himself. This guy's not stable. This guy's scary. We realize that the source of this issue is that he is demon-possessed. That's what Mark tells us. He has demons. Jesus walks up to this guy, and the demons start talking to Jesus, and they call themselves Legion. This could mean up to 10,000 demons are inside of him. 10,000 demons. Jesus walks up to them, and they fall on the ground. And the point that Mark is trying to describe to us is that this guy had some issues, right? Had some issues. I don't know about you, but this guy makes me feel better about my issues, right? I'm telling you that I can't find anyone in Scripture that's more messed up than this dude. This guy is messed up. Mark goes into great detail to tell us that this guy is beyond repair. This is not something like a few counseling sessions are going to fix, right? Like, it's not going to fix it. This guy is unsavable. He has no hope. He is mentally, physically, and spiritually a wreck. Little does this man know that he's going to encounter somebody. That day, he's going to encounter someone that even the winds and the waves obey. He's about to encounter someone who came to seek and to save the lost. He's about to encounter someone who has ultimate power, and he doesn't use his power. He doesn't use his power to oppress. He uses his power to set free. This guy, he was supposed to live in a graveyard, to be unstable, and to harm himself and others for the rest of his life. He encounters Jesus, and look what happens. Look at verse 15. We're going to jump down to that. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed. Do you know what that means? He was naked before. He was naked. It just adds to the insanity of this story and the position this guy was at. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus heals lots of people, but the gospel writer wants us to see that this guy might be the worst guy ever. Let's be honest. If you are one of the people who lives in the town every night, you're hearing him scream and shriek, you knew him. They knew who he was. You know, when they're having their old man coffee clutch, you're like, did you hear him screaming, right? Like, they knew this guy. They knew he cut himself. And you, your family, you tried to steer clear of him, to stay away from him. If you're in this place, you probably, you're so know that he's dangerous that you tried to restrain him with the best chains that you had. And he busted out of them. At this point, everyone is giving up on this guy. And everyone's living on high alert. Don't go near this guy. Everyone has given up on this guy. But not King Jesus. But not King Jesus. Jesus, the one who calms the storm with his voice and tells the disciples, let's go over into this foreigner's land. This is what amazes me. He's not going to a temple. He's not going to religious people. He's not even going to Jewish people. He's going over into the middle of this foreign land to heal this man. Jesus meets this man, and they have, all the people have heard him before. They see this man who is utterly broken spiritually, mentally, physically, and Jesus heals him. What does this tell us about our God? What does it tell us about our God? Our God loves the unlovable. This is a story that our God takes people with real issues and engages them in the mess and brings restoration. He brings healing to their circumstances. This story teaches us that our God takes people who are bound in chains, oppressed by the enemy, isolated from love of a community. Remember, this guy had no one else hanging out with him in the grave. No one else was there. He meets them in their brokenness and he removes the chain. He destroys the power of the enemy with the sound of his voice. And he adopts them into the family of God. This is the picture of our God. We have and serve a God who uses his power not to oppress us, but to free us. The reason that we're here today, the reason that Evangel exists, the reason that we sing songs, the reason that we call ourselves Christians is not because a man came to earth called Jesus to start another religion. A man by the name of Jesus came to earth who is fully God. He came to this earth to set people free. That's the message. That's the good news. He came to set people who are far gone. We worship because our God met us in the middle of our brokenness and he changed our lives. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ. You meet Jesus and he changes you. You follow him. It's not a set of rules to follow. It's following the one who came and has the keys to set you free. You might be sitting here and going, that's a really cool story. Really cool story. I like that story. But I don't think it could happen to me. And you might be going, oh, Levi, you're a preacher boy, and so you don't realize how messed up I am. You don't know what I've done or what's been done, what I'm even doing right now. The reality is, I do know what you've done in your past. Here's the reason. Because I know what I did in my past. I know what I've done in my past. If Jesus can change this man in the scripture, if he can change this man in the scripture, this guy who's messed up beyond belief, he can change him. He can change me. He can change you. You might be going, but you don't understand the depths of the sin that I walked in. You don't understand the depths of sin that I'm walking in. I do. Because I understand the depths of sin in my own life. I'm telling you that there is no sin greater than the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no sin greater than the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no sin greater than the grace of Jesus Christ. This story tells us our God who calms the storm and goes to the foreign lands to heal people just like you and me. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Some of you, as you hear this, you're going, man, that is a cool story. That's a neat story. As you hear this story, you're going into a foreign land that Jewish people didn't go into healing this totally messed up guy and coming back. That's a great story. But it doesn't really move my heart. The unbelievable grace of God doesn't really move your heart. What I've learned, the reason for this is it's because many of you know Jesus already. You've met Jesus before. You've saved. You know that Jesus saved you. But the truth is that you don't think that you're as bad as this guy. You don't think that you're as messed up as this dude. You don't know that you know that you need Jesus to save you, but you weren't living in a graveyard howling at the moon, right? Like, that's not who you were. And this is a neat story of how Jesus is nice, but it's not blowing your mind because you don't believe what the scriptures tell you about us. You don't think that you were living in the graveyard, oppressed by demonic forces. You don't think that you were bound in chains. You knew that you needed Jesus, but you don't think that you're as messed up as this dude. I want to tell you something. I want you to hear this. This man's story is all of our stories. It's all of us. It's all of us in this room today. This story should produce worship in us. This story should leave with a heart of worship for who Jesus is, that he came across the great divide. He came from heaven down to earth for you and I. He split that gap that we had, and he put his cross there for you and I. And yes, you were that messed up. Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us our condition. It says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Does that sound like anybody? Living in a graveyard. You and I were living in a graveyard. Let's go on. "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Well, we have to ask a couple of questions here. Who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? Who is the spirit of the sons and daughters of disobedience that you formerly walked with? It's demonic forces. It's Satan. The scriptures just told us that you were heavily influenced by Satan. That's what it just said. Living in a graveyard, heavily influenced by Satan. Can you see the similarities? That's what the scriptures tell us. It goes on, "All of us lived among them at one time." All means all here. We lived in the graveyard being influenced by Satan. The word "lived" here is just fascinating. The word "lived" in the original language means bound to. Means bound to. Does this sound familiar to you? You were bound to. You were bound to this. You were in chains, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. Every single one of us. This was our condition before we met Jesus. You were living in a graveyard, influenced by Satan, bound by the chains of your sin. His story is our story. His story is our story. Here's the thing. What happened to this man? He met somebody. This is verse 4 in Ephesians. "But," just like the man in the story, "he met someone. Because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgression. It is by grace that you have been saved." Church, if you are in Jesus Christ today, this is your story. This is your story. You met somebody, and this should produce some worship in your heart. Your story is a story of a messed up, broken beyond hope, and Jesus pursued you. You encountered him, and you were physically, mentally, spiritually made whole in him. I said at the beginning of the message, what Jesus did for all of us who believe, and anyone who will believe today, the gospel of the good news is that Jesus took the unclean piece of tape and he made it clean. He made it clean. One of the phrases in the Jewish culture was this idea of unclean. Remember, you don't go to a graveside. You don't go to a place where something is unclean. You don't touch the unclean. Because why? Because it will make you unclean. Think of a Bounty quicker picker up paper towel. If you use that on something that you've spilled on the counter, what happens? It cleans up the spill, but what happens to the man napkin, the paper towel? What happens to it? It becomes unclean. All through the scriptures. This has been the case. If you read Leviticus, it'll tell you this. Don't do it right now. But you read the book of Leviticus, it'll tell you, like, if you touch these things, they're unclean. And if something that was unclean touched something that was clean, the clean thing became unclean. This is the first time in Scripture. This is the first time in Scripture. The thing that was unclean touches the thing that was clean, and it makes the unclean thing clean. This is our story. This is our story. This is the first time in all of Scripture that this happens, where you see this. Where the unclean becomes clean. For those of you who are in Christ Jesus, that is what Jesus did for you. He found you in a foreign country and he made you clean. And that is the offer he offers every single one of us today. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, where you've been, what's been done to you. It doesn't matter. Jesus wants the tattered, sticky, filthy, used up tape of our lives. Jesus wants that. Jesus came for you and he came for me. This story is our story. Let's pray together. Father, we come. We're thankful for this story. This story of this man where it goes on and all he wants to do is run with Jesus after that. And Jesus says, no, you go back and you tell of the goodness of who I am. You tell of what mercies that I've shown you. And God, I pray that that would be our hearts, that we would want to, we know that we were the tape in the story. We were the tape in the story. And we were just like this man. We're living in a graveyard. We're chained by our sins, and you came and we met you. God, let that be our story that we proclaim. In the passage, it goes on and it tells that this man went home and he told others of the goodness of what you've done for him, and they were amazed. God, we pray that as we walk out of here today, as we proclaim the good news of what you've done in our lives, that others would be amazed. That others would be amazed of what you've done. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.